All right, y'all, this is your boy, Day Yule, a.k.a. The Dragon Fist, or a.k.a. Mr. Highlight. It doesn't really matter. My name goes far, and it ends up understanding that my hands have been blessed by dragons, so please understand that. You have got me, and I am tuned in with our place to be, Pro Sports Podcasters, and I want to say thank you for having me.
We are the Pro Sports Podcasters, where no sport is left behind.
It's time for another episode of the Pro Sports Podcasters with your hosts, Nee Wallace Bruce, Corbert Durand, and Justin Williams.
On this podcast, we have guests from all over the world covering every sport from artistic gymnastics to weightlifting.
We have something for every sports fan on PSP. Whether your interests are the athletes playing the game, the coaches, or the media, we've got you covered.
Fun and informative, honest and engaging. You won't want to miss a single episode. So let's kick this off.
BetUS Sportsbook is your ultimate destination for online betting.
With sports betting, live betting, racebook, online slots, and online casino.
It's available across the US and Canada. Use the code PSP to receive a massive sign-up bonus. Hey, and welcome back to another episode of the Pro Sports Podcasters. I'm one half your host, Justin Williams, and you know, I'm never alone. I got my brother from another mother, the man from down under, the one that, you know, his voice is just so, so soothing that it makes everybody want to listen to the show that much longer. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my good friend, Mr. Nee Wallace Bruce. Nee, how you doing?
I'm solid, Justin. All is well, and I'm looking forward to today's chat. We got a returning guest, and he's talking about a sport that we learned a little bit about last season. So,
yes,
I'm pumped. Let's do
it. I'm pumped for this too. And to add fuel to this fire, him and I were both in Mexico around the same time. Except I don't think his blueberries got stolen by an iguana, which I'm still quite upset about. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a friend to the show. If you've heard him before, he's been in MMA, karate combat. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Andre Yule. Andre, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm pretty well, pretty well. So now you got to tell me about this iguana still blueberry.
Okay. So my family and I
rented
out a villa.
That's what we're going to start off with.
This is how we're going to do it, man. So we rented out a villa in Puerto Morales, and it's a touristing thing, whatever it is. And I'm sitting down in the morning having my black coffee and blueberries as I usually start my day, and I see an iguana. And he's like 10 feet away from me, whatever it is. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And eventually the Mexican coffee starts working its way through me and I got to use the bathroom. I'm gone for no more than 5 minutes. I come back out. This little bastard is just knees deep in my bowl, munching on my blueberries. He sees me. I see him and he scampers off and he leaves me with like two.
That's messed up. Just let it ride.
I threw it out. Maybe he found them. I don't know. It was.
Okay. I was going to sit there and say, did you have a 10-second rule called the 5-minute rule? And still ate the blueberry? You might have been turning into a iguana right now. You feel me?
Like I Spider-Man feel like
and whatnot.
That would be the world's worst superpower, though.
Hey, at least you get to blend in with the trees and stuff like that, man. Hey, take out, you can get it.
That's
but
it,
no,
brother.
One, thank you for having me, man. Thank you guys for having me back the whole nine. And, you know, that was a really good story. So I know the fans were going to end up definitely tuning in on the blueberries and don't leave it with the iguana. That's what ends up happening.
That's it. Never leave your blueberries unguarded. That's the whole part of this podcast.
There it is.
All right, Andre. So since we last spoke to you, you've kind of evolved in your game and you've done a lot more since we last obviously spoke. What is up for you in the coming near future, sir?
Well, the near future, basically probably going to start next week / ending of the March, be with Team Combat Boxing, that league. So if you guys are able to in the future, definitely get a subscription on that, you know, because at the end of the day, it's about selling subscriptions around here, I guess. Everybody needs to tune in. I get to be able to be in a tame sport where I get to put hands on other fellow fighters or boxers and whatnot. But once I end up knocking that out, the whole thing is basically get back into the whole karate combat. I believe that's my home, and you know, I feel like that's the place that I need to be at. So I'm just going to end up putting a lid on what I got to do in the boxing side and then basically finish off season two with the blast and retire off of that and become a home base with Karate Combat.
Ah, there you go. When it comes to prepping for your karate, how is it different from every other combat sport you've done? Because you've basically done them all at this point. If not, you're getting close to it.
No, you damn right. The only thing I think on what's going to be next is I'm going to pick up a sword event. So it might be fencing next, you guys. You know, I'm just going to end up become a pro fencer. But if it's not on that, but for the prepping for the karate combat, truth be told, it's my style. And people don't end up understanding, like, when I was with the UFC, that was the style that I was presenting. I was bringing that out. You know, it was a karate base, taekwondo base type of style, you know, Shirin Ryu, where it's evade and strike when they need to be striked, or strike when times needed to be, you know, that whole nut. I ended up get to showcase what happened last week, but the last 10 seconds, you know, and it came me wary of not able to get my ass back up to the moment I'm getting knocked, you know. But it comes with the party. You evade everything, and then when something ends up touching you, that's what ends up happening, you know. But prepping for it, nothing difficult for me, just practicing. I'm doing it every day.
Yeah, that's awesome, Andre. And so you last fight was in Karate Combat. You've been in the UFC. You've also done some boxing. Would you say that Karate Combat is where you felt the most at home in terms of your fighting style, which you said is kind of like that karate base?
Definitely. Because like I stated, if you end up looking at my style from the gate till now, it's an in and out type of movement. I'm getting to the point. I'm striking hard, striking fast, disappearing. Everything that you could possibly think of how karate should be represented. It's like, for me, from last week or last weekend and everything, I got the chance to display that. And I know a lot of people are kind of like trying to down talk what's going on. And I'm not saying a lot, like some, like, oh, you know, karate's turning into the whole MMA thing. But President Awesome, you know, Mr. Brown, he's putting it together for people like myself, you know, where it's another platform to be able to honestly be yourself and don't have to worry about extra things like a double A takedown, like, you know. And reality, it's like that, I can run with that. But if you're telling me I don't have to worry about it, that's where I'm going to be at. Certain things like that. So Karate Combat's definitely taking a turn for everybody, especially people like myself.
For sure. And the event was in Mexico City. So what's the, take our listeners through, what's the karate scene like out there in Mexico?
Well, one, in Mexico, it's kind of like, you got to think about this. When you're going into like a foreign land or, you know, whatever the case is, whatever certain sport that they're about and they like, they go hard for. Just like this, like Mexico's really known for soccer, right? But at the same time, it's not just Mexico. It's like if you go to Brazil, they're known for soccer. You know, if you go overseas, they're known for soccer, which is AKA football, you know. But for us, we're known for football, like, you know, the NFL type right. Football, basketball, you know, there's certain things that we're like really known for. But for them, it's like you already know, it comes like soccer and then fighting. Fighting is their key art. You know, if it's not soccer, it's fighting. If it's not fighting, it's soccer. You know, and then for me, it's actually the fruit, because the fruit is like amazing over there, bro. Like I tell you, like their mangoes is off the chain. If you go down to Mexico, make sure you guys get yourself some mangoes. All right? Mangoes is the stuff out there. But again, so for out there, it's like, you know, that's what they're breaded on. And just like if you go to Brazil, it's fighting soccer. If it ain't one of those two, it's like, hey, what the hell are you in Brazil for? You know, it's one of those things. Unless you're the one that's passing out the foods and mangoes and shit, then there's a different story. But yeah, it's stuff like that.
Hey, I'll say this. My favorite flavor of Jarritos, the the Mexican soft drink is mango. So I get it. I completely get it.
Mangoes over there is like different. It's so different. Like, yeah, they got me. They got me sold. I'm locked in.
That's awesome. That's a beautiful thing. Now, if I'm not mistaken, your opponent on the weekend was Mexican, right? So what was that like, I guess, coming out as the road team, or having like the home crowd against you? What was that not like in terms of mentally preparing for the fight?
It's something I'm already used to. It's just one of those things. Like, majority of all the big, tough fights I had, I always had to go to everybody else's hometown. And for that one, I went over there, and granted that the fans were against me, they became basically became a part of me, if that ends up making sense. Like, I ended up gathering more fans than instead of just walking in there with none, you know? Like, my style, it's very fun, and I'm there to the point. I keep it exciting. And at the end of the day, the only thing you can do is sit there and give me respect. And that's what ended up happening last weekend. Granted that I did lose, like the last 10 seconds, but the whole display all the way up there, all the way up to that point, I'm stealing the crowd. People are respecting it. I was the talk of the night. And everybody, and there's so many other fighters. There's so many other big names that are supposed to be bigger than mine. And I was the entity that everybody wanted to end up talking about at the end. You know, they gave out the respect and all that other stuff. So it's a bittersweet end, but they're giving me a lot of cake on the loss, if that makes sense.
I hear that. Yeah, you went up there and you earned your respect. You by name, and you'll be seeing him in the future by nature. Now, you can use that. I'll let you, I'll copy right here.
I like what you did there.
For that fight in particular, you actually went up some weight, right? You actually had to go up a few pounds compared to what you normally fight at. Is that correct?
That I did. It was supposed to be at 150, and my opponent did not make weight, but since they had the scale on the carpet, everybody was 5 pounds lighter, except so everybody like that jumped on the scale was light, and I was one of those people that weighed in at 145, but I was actually 150, and my opponent weighed in at 150, and he was actually 155. So it was like a Hennen Burrell thing all over again, where Hennen came over 5 pounds. My opponent came over 5 pounds. So it comes down to another moment. If he cuts a weight, we don't even make it throughout the first round. It's just one of those things. Weight ends up carrying people, and people don't end up understanding that. It's happening.
I'm honestly listening to some of the guests we've had on in the past, and just discussing with Justin Kobe, who's not with us today, but he's on a well-earned vacation. We'll look forward to seeing him in the future. The topic of making weight and how some fighters, it's almost like, and this is not a commentary on your opponent. This is just a general comment, but it seems like there are some fighters, it doesn't matter what promotion it is, it's almost like they're not trying to make weight. It's like the penalty is not enough. It's like, I can miss weight and still be competitive. Again,
well, you got to think this. No, I was going to say, obviously, you got to think this. My apologies for cutting it off, but you're right. Like, if it's argument's sake, if I know that I haven't fought in a while and I know that my opponent is coming from London and flying all the way down to California, great chances is if I come overweight about four to three pounds, they're not going to trip as much. Yeah, it's 10% or 20% of my purse or 30%, whatever the case is. But the thing about it is 30% and me knocking you out, I prefer the 30% and me knocking you out and me knowing that you're going to accept the fight because you just got done flying a certain amount of hours to get here. You know, you're not going to fly out here for no reason. And a lot of people will not fly out for no reason unless they're about to end up making, like, arguing the sake of the purse's, hey, it's 20 and 20. So meaning I fly out here, I'm about to make 20K because my opponent didn't make weight. Then, you know, now it doesn't really matter if I fight or not. Like, oh, I'm about to walk away with 20,000 right now. I'm not tripping. But if you're talking to, like, I'm only going to walk away with 5,000, and then if I do fight, I get an extra 3,000, all right, do I really want to take that chance or not take that chance? Am I taking this fight because I need money or don't need money? It kind of like floats into that. And then you got people like me where it's not about the money. I would have took the fight regardless. But now the thing about it is how are you doing it? You know, like if you're hitting me up 3 hours before the weigh-ins end, that's me in my eyes that you're just disrespecting the whole art and saying, fuck me and fuck this whole gang. And in reality, it's like, nah, you should try until 10 o'clock hits. And then if you can't make the weight and you walk in and it says 3 to 4 pounds over, okay, I still accept the fight. You just gave me this certain amount of money and then boom. Because Rob's situation, him not making weight since the scale was on the carpet, he made weight. Everybody is 5 pounds under their weight except the guy that I'm supposed to fight, who's right on down on the numbers. But again, I was going to take the fight regardless. My thing was, you got to at least try. Are you with me? That was about it.
100%. 100%. Because, like, I mean, I was. You guys are professionals, right? This is like kind of part of the job. Would you agree with that? Is that like a fair thing to say?
No, it's 100% fair. It's like, take the job serious. This is what you want to do. Because I even think, like, no bigger, you know, no other organization is going to want that, right? And are you missing, like, just picture if I did say I don't want to fight. Now, he loses the fight. I lose a fight. The fans lose a fight. And then now it comes down as in, do they want me to, do they want to come back and pick me back up because I denied the fight? And then it goes to, do we want to keep you because you didn't even try to make weight? It kind of comes down to these moments where everybody can end up losing more than what they end up gaining. Like, you know. Like me, this was going to be the biggest opportunity. I was saying yes regardless, you know? But it still comes down to that being professional about it. Like, bro, if you knew you was going to make weight, let me know. I can go ahead and gain my weight and then we can play a catch weight. We can do it that way. But you telling me at the last minute where I have to, like, sleep and not be able to eat certain things. Because, look, I turned down this mango drink, right? There was this mango smoothie the night before. The night before weigh-ins, I had to come in at 151. Like, this is full fact. I had to come in at 151, right? And I was at 149. And if I would have drank it, or would drink, my whole goal was just to drink some of it, you know? Even if I would have drank the whole thing, I would have woke up at 150, right? But Bobby and my boy Mark made sure I did not drink it. Like, they knew I was going to drink it, so I was, like, giving it to them to tell me how it tasted. I want you to know that. So you know how you had that Laguana over here, take the blueberries? Like, you know, there's a part of you probably wanted to ask it, like, was it good, you know?
Yeah, of course.
But it gave you the face just to let you know that it was good. And that's where I was at. They had the mango drink, and I'm over here. It was really sad. Like, they said, Dre, like, bro, it looked like you wanted to cry about this mango drink. And low-key, I did, because I kept bringing it up the next day. I was bringing it up. After the weigh-ins, before the weigh-ins, like, this fucker didn't even make the weight. I could have drank the damn mango drink. Or, hey, this carpet's ended up taking away 5 pounds. I could have drank this mango drink. Like, you know, I was basically livid that day. But it was like, hey, it is what it is. It happens. Because it ain't the first time. And then, like I said, it just made me mad to the moment I was going to put on something beautiful, which I did. I put on something so amazing that people were still hitting me up asking if they can jump in there or saying, hey, Dre, you did so good, man. It just made me end up reminiscing of how karate is supposed to be and all that other stuff. I did that, like, you know, and that was because I was already irritated of, I just wanted to put on a show on this guy, like, you know, but then granted that, like, you know, I took the L, but hey, the thing is, the build up to that, you know, it was beautiful. And then it just comes down to it, like, one little fucking trip turns into something different. If I didn't do this, I would. If I didn't do that, you know. But I'm not going to take out the performance of what I did, and it ended up gaining, and I ended up getting respect to the moment that everybody ended up stating, like, Karate Combat is my home. This is the place I need to be. So it's a win for me.
I love when those stories happen. When it's those kind of comeback momentums. It's like, yeah, you lost the fight, but you gained so much more in that perspective. And it's just, it's legendary, and it's nice to kind of have. But continuing on with this story, what is your secret for cutting weight? Because you never seem to have a problem. And evidently, everybody at some point has this issue. What is your secret, dude? Tell me. I want to cut weight.
Bro, so look, I'm going to say this, but don't listen to me, all right? It's candy. I end up eating a lot of fucking candy. People do not get this shit to this moment. I'm sorry for cursing, but it's candy for me. And it's like, because, you know, everybody has like little cheat meals or whatever the case is, right? Or something that sneaks them off or you crave for or you do extra just so you can have. It's candy for me. It's like when I'm cutting weight, my mindset is I want this candy. And for me to have that candy, I know I have to do an extra lap or extra minute in the sauna or whatever the case is. But I normally cut off like the junk food and whatever junk food that it is. Like most people say, hey, they go vegan or whatnot. For me, it's just the light calorie intakes and how much fluid that I do take in. So if I'm pounding out water, then that's what I'm drinking. And I already know how hard that I do train that I'm burning it off. Like, you know, if I drink a gallon, you know, worth just our even say that gallon is guaranteed 4 pounds. I train to cut off 5 pounds. Like, you know, so my set goal is 5 pounds is what I'm about to end up cutting today. Like, you know, so now even by me drinking the water, I'm always going to be a pound over of me burning out the weight. So I'm always losing weight. So that's just what it kind of comes into. And then when you need that little energy, and for me, it's candy. Like, it could be a Jolly Rancher, fucking like hell. When I was in Mexico, it was the Mexican candies, you know, the little chili mangoes.
You and mangoes.
Always going back to mangoes. I'd have been going always back to mangoes. But yeah, but that was my go-to. I end up sneaking it in and boom, I have energy to fucking keep working or energy to honestly keep pushing to the next level. So I kind of do mine backwards.
How did you discover that candy was your kind of secret, if you will?
Don't get me wrong. I ain't the only person that has this. Everybody has a little thing. You got to constantly keep going through, like, you know, trial tribulations. Like me, when I was cutting, it was Milk Duds back in my day. Like, I always jumped on the Milk Duds and I eat Milk Duds, or I have the mindset of thinking of me eating Milk Duds, you know? So everything always came down into certain things like that. So, yeah.
Okay. What's your natural walk around weight?
What are we talking about? Working out or not working out completely?
Okay, let me give you two scenarios then. So you just finished Karate Combat. You don't have anything lined up for the next 3 months. What is your walk-around weight?
We're looking about 64, 65.
Okay.
That is comfortable.
Okay, that's pretty good. Now, what is the most you've ever had to cut before a fight?
Let me see. Well, that one's kind of like... I always dropped down from 65 to about 235. So that was back in the UFC heyday. So I'll sit there and say most would be like 24. But now, like a short notice, we talking short notice. Most I ever done is just like from 63 to 45. Like, you know, that was like short notice.
How much time was given?
2 weeks. 2 weeks. Like, to be honest, like this last fight, if we're going to go off of the scale being on the carpet and everything, I got down 45 and I was walking around roughly a good 58, and that was a short notice of 2 weeks that I know that I was fighting in Mexico.
That is so crazy to me that you can just cut that much weight so quickly,
bro. All right, it's like everything is all about like certain how you whatever your intakes are. Like for me, I fast from like 7 at night all the way to 1 o'clock afternoon the next day. Yeah. Sometimes 2, and everything kind of ends up depending. And then my big meals is between 12 through 7 is when I end up eating my big meals.
Okay. And in those big meals, how many calories do you pack in?
So yeah, so I'm like on the fasting part of, from like 12 to freaking 7 is where I end up eating my big meals or not. And all that. Yeah. So if I'm not between that, you know, I'm pretty much solid.
And how many calories, and what does your average meal look like?
It
those, it all kind of automatically depends.
I could end up going to Sprouts. I don't know if you guys have Sprouts out there, wherever you guys are at, but Sprouts is like one of these awesome, amazing foodie places, which is like all healthy and whatnot. And they already have meals ready for you. So it could be like a dish of pasta. It could be a dish of chicken and potatoes. Everything kind of end up depending. But for me, I normally end up getting something similar to that where it's one big dish and call it a day. So the calories that I do intake could be like 700, but it's very fulfilling. Like, you know, yeah. Or it could be 300, but still very fulfilling. It's certain things like that.
Damn. So I remember when I was cutting weight just because I wanted to, I like really like messing with my body. And in 1 month and 30 days, I would only consume 1,000 calories a day, but I would do 1,000 calorie cardio every day plus lifting. And I dropped 30 pounds in 30 days.
Do you see? And that's because you did the max or the limit of how many calories. And on top of that, the weightlifting ended up burning more calories. So it just kind of comes down like you drink that water of 4 pounds, but you work out to sweat 5. You're always going to lose a pound.
Oh, exactly. 100%.
Boom.
I'm learning a lot today. I'm not going to lie. That's good info. Now let me ask you this, Dre. Because you have a boxing team. Do you, you're pretty disciplined with your weight maintenance going into fights. Do you kind of impress that on your fighters as well? Is the need to, I guess, make weight before competition?
With my fighters?
Yeah.
Are we talking? Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Because I got two of them, or I guess three, is about to compete this weekend. And right now it's like the whole weight thing. And one of them is 200 pounds, which he should not be fighting at 200 pounds, but he has this like, that I guess he can't burn 200 pounds, so he's stuck at 200. And then I have another fighter that's at 183, but he has to get down to 169 by Friday, which I know he's going to end up killing, be able to get there. So with them, I'm very strict on it. Just practicing, you know, that I do it, and I'm very, you know, strategic on everything that I end up doing. I want them to be on the same page, nothing more, nothing less. If I'm leading by example, whoever's rolling with me got to be on the same page. So we all make weight. You know, that's how it is.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's leading by example. So that's a beautiful thing. Now, Dre, you just fought in Karate Combat. If I'm not mistaken, you're going to be fighting in another competition before the end of the year. Why don't you just quickly share what that's about?
With the new... Or back with the company I'm going with now, it'll be Team Combat League.
Yeah.
Team Combat League. It ends up starting March 38 or 28. I don't know why I said 38, but 28. And I will be with Team San Antonio. And it's the Snipers, which is actually a very befitting name because, you know, my hands come from ranges, but I'm always on point. You feel me? Boom. Mm-hmm. There it is. But yeah, so it's a team comeback. It's a full-on boxing, one round per fighter type of deal, and you could end up fighting twice, but it's 24 rounds. It's literally a setting where you could pick your favorite player, you could pick your favorite team, and, you know, and kind of run from that. But obviously I want everybody to tune in and, you know, jump on their the streaming, and for that you got to end up downloading their subscription. And clearly I'm gonna have my whole super code so everybody can end up when they sign in, I get the points for it and whatnot. But yeah, definitely want to tune in to that, and it's very exciting. You know, nothing but action pack, and it's gonna honestly bring more noise than a lot of people end up understanding.
Bring the noise. That's what it's all about. Now, how do we follow you so we can get that code so we'll be ready for the TCL? All
right. Well, definitely follow me on Instagram. Day 42 spelled D-A-I-I 42. Yeah, that is one of my other names that I end up flowing with, and that's been my Instagram name since the heydays. But yeah, so definitely follow me on my Instagram, and just it will be on the in my bio of how to end up jumping on there with the whole code. But don't do it now. Wait. You just gotta wait, okay? But obviously follow me, but wait for the code thing. I'll end up giving out a post of saying, hey, you know, X, Y, and Z, join this, get a subscription and all that other stuff. More the merrier.
The more the merrier. Andre, it's been a pleasure having you on, and we appreciate your time. If you're listening, we appreciate you listening as well. Make sure you subscribe, follow Andre, and then subscribe to this podcast as well. Drop a review. Justin, it's been a pleasure having you on as a host. The host of the most. I've been your co-host, Neil Wallace Bruce. Special thanks to Corbett Aron, who works in the background as well. This has been the ProSource Podcasters, and I'm wishing you a very good night.
Or cheers.
PSP fans, Kobe here. I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did, because unfortunately it's the final episode I will be editing as a member of the Pro Sports Podcasters. I've absolutely enjoyed my time as part of this team with Nee and Justin. All of the athletes, sports media, coaches, trainers that we've interviewed, some of them are now acquaintances, others I've considered friends. It's been an amazing experience. I hope you enjoy the website. I put that together for you, and more of you need to visit it and sign up to become a member of the Pro Sports Podcasters Insider Group. But I got to bid you adieu. I'm moving on to new things, and it's time I said my final farewell. All the best, sports fans. Enjoy the Pro Sports Podcasters.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast.
For even more of your favorite sports content, be sure to visit the website www.prosportspodcasters.com.
On our website, you will find our sports blog, full podcast library, access to our YouTube channel, and deals from our affiliate partners.
You can also sign up to become a PSP Insider and get exclusive access to our insider tips, sponsor giveaways, and insider newsletter.
So don't miss out on the full Pro Sports Podcasters experience,
where no sport is left behind.